Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Tara Lockery-Grant in for Ryan Tuberty. Now, can you relate to this? We're at home at the moment, you know, we're after your mantelpiece could be full of things like Mother's Day cards, maybe birthday cards in and around this time as well, Valentine's Day, and then, of course, Patrick's Day, kids' crayons and drawings and Paddy's St. Patrick's Day cutouts and all sorts of things all over the house. And you're trying to make sure everybody has a great time yesterday and everybody is now maybe a bit wrecked today. Well, you know, we often hear as well about overparenting, overprotective parents, parents who keep their children indoors for fear of predators lurking around every corner. Well, joining us this morning is Stella O'Malley, the author of Cotton Wool Kids, What's Making Irish Parents Paranoid? And the book reveals the media-fueled madness of paranoid parenting, describes how a more relaxed attitude to raising children could lead to happier, healthy families or healthier families. So I have a feeling that some of what Stella's going to say this morning, I have to say, may urge you to call in or take her on. Please do. You can call us 1850 715 922 or text 51552. Stella, firstly, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about yourself first and, you know, why you felt the need to write this book.
I'm a psychotherapist and I always had an awful lot of clients who were coming in, and it was very noticeable that there's two very distinct groups that come to me, and one would be the kind of young adult, kind of 18 to 25 year olds, and the other side would be the kind of the men and women in their late 30s, early 40s, and the later age group were very stressed about parenting and the young adults were terrified about the world. And I started to see a huge correlation between the two, that the basically the overparented kid had become a terrified, slightly paranoid kid who was just completely overwhelmed by the idea of being on their own, because they'd never been on their own and they'd never had to make a decision on their own. And they'd been consistently told by their parents from the age of very, very young, it's a big, bad world out there. Watch out. I have to hold your hand. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. Sit tight. And they were also told to kind of to educate themselves to the nth degree, even if they were just an ordinary person who just wanted to be a carpenter. They had to get a massive amount of qualifications, a massive amount of effort in their lives. And I could see the impact. And then I had kids myself. And suddenly I went, oh my God, the pressure on parents. And I was determined to not let it impact me.
Oh, and what's that? Describe the pressure.
The pressure was relentless. It was 2007 I got pregnant, and that was the year Madame McCann went missing. And the world tilted on its axis and we all went mad completely. And I watched that story because I was pregnant that whole summer. She went missing in May. And I watched that whole summer, that story unfold and how it turned into a really sick pantomime. And it went from a really horrible, sad story in May to a very, you know, it continued on. But by August, it had gone as a story insofar as it wasn't in the public interest anymore. But the media kept it in the public interest because they knew they would sell more papers. So freaking parents out was a way to keep selling papers. And so, for instance, let's say there was a newspaper in England who kept the headline of Madeleine on the front page of the paper for 100 days running from August until November. Now, by then, the story was gone. By then, they were blaming the Tapas 7. They were blaming Madeleine McCann's parents. They were blaming everybody. But the reason they were keeping it on the, imagine, on the front page, that lovely little picture of Madeleine with her little eye and all that, was on the front page, just as far as I could see, it was to worry parents. And then I was doing a thesis on parenting and I realised just how much this was fuelled by the media, just how much this was fuelled, not only by the media, in fairness, by big business selling fear to parents so that parents will open their wallets. Wow. And I got angry.
And what did you do?
That's very right. Angry. So I did the thesis and I was blown away by how much we're living in a safer world than ever before. When I was a child, it was actually much more dangerous. When I was a child, it was much more likely I was going to be sick, much more likely I was going to be hurt. And actually, we are living in a great time. We're living in a great era. Our kids should be the happiest kids ever. And then when you look on the other side, our kids are not the happiest ever. Our kids are actually very anxious. They're very miserable. Suicide is going up. Even though we're safer, we've nothing to be worried about, but we're worrying worse than we ever were before.
So where did you get your stats? Like, where were you reading this and feeling this?
Yeah, this took years of study and years of research. And everybody says, how long does it take to write the book? Years, years of research, of building up a case and realising this needs to be exploded. This needs to be absolutely sung from the rooftops, that we are safer than ever before. We have the opportunity to be happier than ever before. And I got them from everywhere. I got them from loads of scientific journals and stuff. There's a lot of statistics in the book, but I tried to make it very readable by putting in lots of stories and stuff like that. Kind of balance, they can be kind of assured that this is the truth, but also make it readable so it's enjoyable.
You have one stat here. So a recent study of over 11,000 parents, quite a significant number in a study, reported that parents of young children report far more depression, emotional distress and other negative emotions than non-parents. So why is it? What's going on?
Because, well, as I found out when I became a parent myself, it's incredibly competitive. It's incredibly stressful. There's an awful lot of heat. You're always failing. You're never quite doing it right. And you are always very, very aware you're failing. And also, you're also being told to kind of parent along different, let's say there's Super Nanny or there's the Baby Whisperer or there's, you know, there's Gina Ford. There's an awful lot of different ways. So you could be friends with somebody who's very much Gina Ford parent and another person would be very live and let live, hippie kind of parent. And so you kind of feel, well, we both couldn't be right. One of us must be wrong. Therefore, people are like an independent republic, slightly paranoid of any other family, thinking either I've got it right or they've got it right because both of us can't have it right.
You're hitting the nail on the head. I do remember sitting down one time with a Gina Ford book, beating myself over the head when I had a screaming baby in my arms. It was 8 o'clock. And according to that book and that routine, my baby's supposed to be asleep, happy and cooing at 7. So I was pulling my hair going, what? I failed. And I was
failed,
sitting there bawling.
Yeah.
Hormones flying left, right and centre. I mean, the other half came in and he goes, what's wrong? Oh, she's supposed to be asleep at 7. It says so on page 10. And then Ada starts Googling Gina Forage.
Yeah.
Right? And am I right in saying that she doesn't have kids?
Yes, you are.
I was like, I'll tell you what, that book can just
she doesn't have kids. And she's also, she was in her mother's bed until she was 11.
Yeah. So, now hang on. Maybe, I'm not sure if I
this
go
is
that
truth.
Far.
This is truth.
Kids in the bed till 11, I know.
So she's obviously very much a reaction to her own childhood.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you have to be a parent necessarily to know anything about parenting, but it helps.
Yeah, and not only that, it's so contradictory. One person, it's like the law, according to Gina Ford. Away with Gina Ford. She's brilliant in some cases.
She is.
Some people really swear by her. But then there's an awful lot of other people who'd say the complete opposite. And where is the kind of, we're trying to be educated parents. We try to read all the books and try to do the right thing. And then we realise there is no right thing. There's actually loads of people are telling us lots of different things, and that's incredibly stressful.
Do you find so from your own upbringing, like when you talk to your mum or your family, the matriarchs in your family, and more so even, I suppose, than the dads, because they were the generation often who were at home. It was starting to change around then, and they often had to give up work when they got married, and or when kids came along. And there was so much thing of the kids, there were more kids often in families. The kids raised each other, number one. My mum said to me one time, do you think I went to bed with 10 books around me going, what will I do now? I have the toddler, the teenager, and there's the bullying in school. Do you think, she goes, I was flicking through 20 books at the bedside.
Turn
going,
the pages
oh, hang
down.
On, here, you take that one now, love, and I'll take this book. No, forget about the movie. We're reading our books. Number two, the other thing she said is, I was trying to get the kids and bring them to all these things like play groups and sing-along groups and jamborees. And she goes, another thing, do you think, she said, we were packing and unpacking the car and putting kids, and remember, there was no seatbelts or even
it was much more dangerous.
And it was much more dangerous. And she goes, but also, they didn't have the time for it. They would go in with neighbours, have a cup of tea, the kids would play together whether you liked each other or not, you got on, and there was much more problem solving that you had to do for yourself. You were independent, younger.
But
what do you think of that?
There was a lot more going on. Like, it was much more of a community, so people were much more kind of supportive of each other. In general, it was more a supportive vibe as opposed to look at her, she's out. Because nowadays each family is on their own, they're independent and they're quite defensive about it, so we're not sharing our problems because we feel it's slightly defensive. But not only that, there's a free and easiness to that. There was no packing and unpacking and packing and unpacking, which is stressful on the child as well as on the parent. I remember myself when I used to have these visions, I was going to be gassing with my friends having cups of coffee and my children were going to be playing on the ground beside me. And then I realised when I was off, all my other friends, they were working. So I was on my own watching, you know, Dr. Phil and Super Nanny in the House of Tiny Tearaways. It's such a different life we have now.
It is. And do you think, and tell us, what's your view on this? We can't have it all. There's a lot of people, all this talk, it's been blown out of the water. We know nobody can have it all. So you have to compromise somewhere. Doesn't mean you can't do all the leaning in, doesn't mean you can't do that, but you have to make choices. So is it because women are working more as well that we're putting this pressure on ourselves that when we are at home, the guilt, you feel guilty for not doing a great job at work, you feel guilty for not doing a good job as a parent, you're stretched. What is it?
And people are, I know you can't have it all, but unfortunately we try to give our children it all. So we're bringing them home, we're knackered at 6 o'clock, we come home from work, we collect them, we give them the healthy dinner that we've home cooked, we try to do their homework with them, we're trying to bring them to activities, and at the end of it all, we lose the head. We scream or we say, get in the car, or we lose the head. And therefore, we ruin it all. Well, we would have been better not doing any of it. Do you
That's
follow
really
me? Because
point.
If it's causing a huge amount of stress for the family, it just will be. And therefore, you shouldn't try to do it all because actually you'll just fall over.
I think you're right. And I think, you know what, you hit the nail on the head. I'm admitting to this now, where you're like, we're going to have a great time. Get in. We're having a great time. This is brilliant.
Like the children all over Paddy's Day. It's like the Battle of the Somme where I was at. For babies. All these babies were crying when I was at the parade yesterday. And all the parents were like, come on. I've brought you in. So you're going to enjoy yourself. And that's the way we're attacking parenting. Like, come on, let's go. You smile. And it's too much pressure on the children as well as the parents. Yeah. It's too much pressure on everybody. We need to just cool it, relax.
There was another point, a friend of mine's little fella had a stammer, just developing a stammer. Often as well that happens when you're, you know, when they can be coming up to school going age. And there's the brain is developing faster, they say, than the speech mechanism. So the stammer can happen. But also one of the advice is to slow down.
Yeah.
To let go at the child's pace. Because if you notice what we're doing is put your coat on, put your shoes on. I said put your coat on, put your shoes on. Did you put your coat on? Did you put your shoes on? Did you smile for the picture? Smile for the picture.
Yeah. Because we're having a great day.
And if you took pictures of even yesterday with the buggy, taking people's ankles off and trying to walk along and make sure everyone can see and make sure everyone's fed, and hence the takeaway comments that I was making earlier on, the pressure to get everything right all
and
the
have,
time.
And have all the corners covered. And we don't have all the corners covered. And we've kind of come around to the idea that women can't have it all. And we haven't come around to the idea that our children can't have it all. So now, back in the day when we were talking about our own parents, and I'm not glorifying it because there was issues, but because, you know what I mean, of course there was, but we are in a much better state now. And yet we're trying to, let's say back in the day, you either were into art or you were into music or you were into sports. Nowadays they're into all three. And that's not kind of possible. You can't kind of do your homework and do your sports and do your music and go to dance. It's too many things. And it's just spreading all the children too thin. And an awful lot of children, they're exhausted. They're exhausted. And then they're just turning to screens, as that's the only way they know how to deal with downtime, because they never have learned to just have ordinary downtime and play. And children have been asked, how would they describe play? And they say it's what we do when parents aren't looking. But parents are looking all the time. So they're therefore not playing.
And I know, Stella, we're painting this out to be a bad picture. We're going to be talking soon, you know, after the news, about what can we do? What are the things that we can look towards as well? So Cotton Wool Kids is the name of the book, What's Making Irish Parents Paranoid. We're talking to Stella O'Malley. And we've coming up, we've got the news. We're also going to be talking soon to our resident GP, Dr. Nina Burns, who'll be joining us later in the studio. So if you are on the show, so if you have queries for Nina, you can text in 51552 or call 1850 715 922. So I'm looking forward to talking about the other parts of this as well, and maybe things that we can do.
The good side.
So thanks for staying with us.
Tubridy on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie. Text
51552.
Call
1850 715 922.
Tubridy on 2FM.
It's Tara Lockery Grant in for Ryan Tubridy today. Will Ferrell and snakes. I could picture the scene. That's something I'd love to see. Stella O'Malley is here, the author of Cotton Wool Kids, What's Making Irish Parents Paranoid. And we were talking just before the news there about that and about, I suppose, the stresses that parents are under nowadays and kids too. But Stella, tell us about, you know, just to follow on that point we were saying earlier, the pressure that parents are under now, okay, and the pressure that they're putting on themselves. What can we do about it though? What can we do to ensure that the pressure is lessened on us and also on our kids while still giving them everything that we can?
Well, I suppose I feel very strongly about this. I kind of think knowledge is power, and by reading, let's say, my book or other books that would kind of educate you about what's out there, you'd realise very quickly that actually killing yourself isn't helping your child. And there's a lovely quote, like, to have a happy and healthy child, the easiest way to have that is to be happy and healthy yourself. And that would be really, if you kind of weigh it up, if it's causing you a huge amount of stress to bring your child to karate at 6:30 on a Monday evening, and if it's causing the family stress, well, then it's not worth it. The pleasure isn't worth the pain. And I suppose that would be the question to ask yourself each time.
Okay, because I do love, I've heard that loads of times, the happy, healthy mom is a happy, healthy baby or child. So what though, when you look about it now, parents who are giving so many extracurricular activities to the kids now, and mums and dads driving them, mummy and daddy taxis driving them left, right, up and down the country. Are the kids now, academically, are they better off? Are they flying? Are they more successful than previous generations?
Tragically, no. Tragically, we're not. These kids, and I'm amazed because my kids are 5 and 7, and I'm looking at it thinking, the level of education, the amount of homework, the level that they're at is nothing like what I was at. But I do know statistically, come out the other side, when they're 17 and 18, they're not going to be as educated as I was. Just statistically, it's very, very likely, because we have dumbed down on a very big level on an awful lot of things insofar as children are learn things by rote. What's happened is they're being basically fed a huge amount of information, but they're not learning to think for themselves. And that is crucial. If you want to succeed in this world, you need to learn to think for yourself. You need to have a creative brain that can handle a problem and solve it. And actually, that's what's lost.
So how do we do that now? And how are we not doing it? And how do we do it?
Well, we've got to get off the treadmill, and you have to arm yourself with knowledge on some level, because it's going to be, you're going to be kind of anti-culture, because the culture at the moment is anti-parenting. So if you say, I'm not bringing my kids to any extracurricular activities, you will need to have to, you'll need to be quite brave. And also, maybe I personally went in and spoke to the teacher about the homework. I felt it was too much, and she halved it. It was unbelievable.
Wow. Just for your kids or for everybody?
Well, I to be honest, I think she did it for my kids, and I was a bit shocked. Yeah. And I thought, that's not quite fair. But at the same time, I know an awful lot of parents want to really, they want to lay on the homework. They think it's a great teacher because they're giving her loads of homework. I don't think it's a great teacher because they're giving her loads of homework. So I had a very frank conversation. Now, I have to admit, I went in with all guns blazing. Like, I had an awful lot of information. I had an awful lot of statistics, and I was saying, I don't want my kid to have so much homework. And I was very...
Did you bring your book?
Yeah, I
did. Excuse me, I've written this book.
But I brought in an awful lot of stuff with me, so it wasn't just me. And I was saying, I'm not lazy, I just don't agree with it. And I stand by that.
And are you worried then that your children are going to, if everyone else is being pushed forward, that yours would slide back?
Well, am I worried? Every parent is worried. Of course I'm worried. Of course, without a doubt, I'm worried. And yes, of course, that would be the issue. However, I suppose, having read as much as I have on the subject, I have to stand with the actual fact is the biggest gift you or I could give to our kids is to be able to think for themselves. That is going to get you a lot further than anything else.
Big time. But how do you do it?
Well, you have to stop thinking for them. Stop feeding them with information and start letting them work it out. When they've got a problem, just go, oh yeah. And that's what I do in the book. I kind of give questions and let you figure it out, if you follow me, as in let the child figure it out. So the next time the child has a problem with homework, let them kind of go, God, that looks really hard. What are you going to do about it?
That's good.
Yeah, like really you get your head out of the books. So let them figure out their problem and let them not be able to finish something because they can't. And that is very stressful. I know that. However, over time, let them kind of build a sense of responsibility over their own homework.
So how do you know when it's age appropriate? I mean, let's say a 4-year-old comes in with a flat tire, you're probably on the bike, you're probably not going to go, off you go.
Come on, son.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, you see, everybody has different values for their children. And I am very reluctant to start advising parents what to do. What I want for my kids would be different from what you would want for your kids. So I think it's very important that's why I think it's very important you arm yourself with some knowledge by reading, and then you decide, you kind of make up your own family manifesto. I want my kids to be able to walk to school by 8. I want my kids to be able to walk to the shop by 7. I want my kids to be able to do their own homework by the time they're 8. Do you follow me? You make up your own manifesto, because what you want for your kids is different to what I want.
Exactly. But it is that freaky thing. You know, you're talking about, yes, we all grew up playing on our block, our road, our street, our estate, wherever.
And ironically, ended up more educated than the kids now.
Well, You know, that's what that's what you're saying there,
that's
right?
What I'm saying,
but
yeah.
When you have the kids now, let's say, at what age do you think it's okay to say to your kids, yes, you can play? Play dates are what everybody's doing now. There were no play dates when we were kids. It was okay to off you go see at tea time. Is it safe to do that now? Are you saying that it is? Or at what age do you think it's safe to do that?
Well, I'm saying it's complicated. Nothing is easy. And I'd be a fool if I just said, let them off and let it out at that. Because the fact is, which I've confronted myself, is that there are no kids on the street. And the culture of the eyes of the street have gone. And the eyes of the street was basically the older kids were looking after the younger kids. And not only that, older adults were looking out for younger kids. So there was a general community feeling of let's all look out for each other, which is gone. Now it's where's the mother of that child? That child shouldn't be out.
People are bringing chairs out and playing. When the kids are playing in the cul-de-sac or on the street or in the green, the parents are on the green with them, or they have a chair and they're sitting nearby.
Yeah. And therefore, if you're not doing that, you're a neglectful parent, etc., etc. And I'm not a neglectful parent, but I do fight against and rail against that kind of concept of we have to be out. Don't forget what I said earlier. Children said that playing is what we do when parents aren't around. The fact is, if a parent is around, they're insisting on fair play, they're insisting on this, they're insisting on that, and the children haven't learned to play. They're doing a structured activity under the eyes of the parents. But going back to what you said, what do we do? You have to do it in baby steps, and you have to find your own way, and you have to figure out what you want to give to your children. Is independence important? Is playtime important? Is, you know, music important? Or is an actual just relaxed childhood important? And you have to follow your own, just like you did at summer. Most people, summer in the midst of the baby years, they threw away the books and did their own thing. We have to do that with childhood. And we have to, I suppose, most importantly, arm yourself with knowledge so that you can fight back against that culture. You're not a neglectful parent if you don't bring your chair out onto the green. You just aren't.
What about with find out what you're trying to find out what your kids are into? OK, so, you know, whether it's hobbies or whatever it is, if you just are so relaxed about it, you don't get them into anything, that might help them for the future to find out what they want to do, whether it's a musician or whether it's one of these Kodo Dojo things. You know, maybe technology is hugely important now. So if you don't do those, is that not bad parenting?
Well, I think you have to support your children, and anybody who's going to the trouble of reading a book about parenting, they're very loving parents, for starters, and they're very interested. So there's a natural interest in your children. I'm more interested in my children than anybody else's. So I naturally notice what they're into. And I'm not saying off you go and, you know what I mean, go out and never come back. I'm just saying the natural loving parent is interested in their children. The natural loving parent picks up on what they're into. But they don't have to stuff it down their throat, and they don't have to say, I better get him into music and sport as well, just in case, even though I know he's into Kodo Dojo, just to keep it all very balanced. Let them off. Let them have whatever their interest is at the moment. And I suppose take the pressure off yourself in providing them with everything. Trying to be all things, trying to have their child to have all things isn't working.
There's some really interesting points in there, Stella. And the book is Cotton Wool Kids, What's Making Irish Parents Paranoid, from Stella O'Malley. Stella, I could talk to you all day, but I better not get in trouble. But listen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And
thank you very
looking
much.
Forward to talking to you and hearing you back on with Ryan, maybe to see what sort of the next stage is in the development of this
teenagers.
Thanks a million. Oh, that's next.